listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, August 6th, and we're back in the studio with you. We have a great guest. We'll get to him in just a moment. I wanted to bring up the fact that I guess we have a VP contender for the Democrats. His name is Tim Walz, and he's a governor from, I don't even know. So it doesn't really matter because I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to vote this year, and that's crazy, but I'm really torn, you know, so I'm like on the fence right now. We'll see what's going to happen, but it's a tough year to decide who you're going to vote for. Also, the stock market was crashing the last couple of days, especially yesterday, but it's back up today, so I'm encouraged. Yesterday, it was like down 1,000 points or something, and today it's about like plus 500 or something. I think I just ran out of battery on my mouse, which is not a good thing, and what am I going to do? No, I need the mouse. I need the mouse. And you see, that's what happens when you have a wireless mouse. And I don't know how am I even going to click to play the music or anything. I don't know. So you know what, folks? Hold on for just a second. Let me go bring in some batteries because I can't even stop anything and play music and all that. So hang on for me for just a second. Then we'll edit the show later. So stand by. Okay, we're back. Thank you for waiting, folks. This is one of these things that happen on live radio, and not much we can do about that. At any rate, let's get to our guest. We have Mr. Sudhi Karataj.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll get used to it by the end of the show, you know, because the spelling is not quite the way you pronounce it, but Karataj it is.
Yes.
That's and you also go by Rick, right?
Yes, correct.
For those who can't pronounce Sudhi, is that
right. Well, Sudhi is so common, so I go by Rick. No, I'm a Gemini, so I have two names.
That's two names, right? Okay, yeah. That's cool. Why not, you know? I have several names, actually, because, you know, I my name people can't really say, my Hebrew name, so I go by Sam and stuff, and then my nickname is different, so... I understand. I get the feeling, you know? Yeah. I feel you, man.
And this way I can drive in the HOV lane because I'm two people.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Have you seen that? They actually showed this guy driving with a dummy in his car, and then he got stopped, and the cop is looking, and it's a dummy sitting in the passenger seat, you know?
Did he give him a ticket? I'm sure he did, right?
I'm sure, yeah. I don't know, but they showed everything on social media, so yeah. We saw that. Which brings us to to the reason you're here today. You wrote a book about social media and a couple of other books. You wrote songs and you sing them, which is really cool. So we'll get to all of that in a little bit. Let's find out a little bit about yourself. We spoke a little bit, but, excuse me, but, you live in LA.
Yes.
You're local now.
Yep.
Right. When did you move to LA?
I moved to California in, 23 years ago, 2002.
Okay, so you're local. This is home for you.
Now I am. I guess I'm staying if I've been here 23 years. Yeah, I lived in North Hollywood for 5 years, and now I live in Van Nuys,
in California. Van Nuys, okay.
But originally from Long Island, New York.
Oh, really?
Syosset, and I lived in New York City for like 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like it there?
I did. I think I've liked everywhere I've lived.
Yeah.
So
why did you move here?
I thought to do more acting stuff, but I ended up really getting more into writing.
Oh, I see. So you were acting in New York?
A little bit, yeah. Not as much as I would have liked to. And I did a lot of catering and stuff. But I wanted to do more film and TV. Mm-hmm. So I moved out here. But as soon as I moved out here, I thought of an idea for a script and then wrote it. And then Yeah, and then I just wrote and wrote and wrote. I've been writing, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So this is something later in life that you started doing writing, or were you doing it from an early age?
Well, I went to Plattsburgh University in New York for marketing when I was, you know, when I went to college.
Yeah, that's what I majored in, too.
Okay, but I ended up always doing more plays and doing music stuff in college anyway. And then right after college, I went to HB Studios, took some acting classes. And, so it's really what I wanted to do, more performing or acting and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't really go straight into it. I, you know, kind of.
And in New York, it's not as widespread as it is here, although, right? I mean, the film industry is pretty... pretty developed in New York, but nothing like L.A.
Yeah.
Hollywood is Hollywood.
Yeah, right? And there's more TV shows out here and stuff. Like in New York, there's like four TV shows. Law & Order, Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Law & Order Criminal Intent, and I Still Know What You Did on Law & Order. You know, no, but I joke about that. But there was a lot more TV. You know, if you want to do theater, then yeah, stay in New York and do that.
Right.
But for film and TV, yeah. So
right. And that's what you want. You wanted more film and TV.
Yeah, and like I said, I ended up really going more into writing and stuff. So, but I still do a little bit of acting, you know.
I see. So what do you write? You wrote a script, you said?
Yeah, I had a script that I wrote with Tom Archeekin called Walk a Mile in My Pradas. And it was on Netflix for a couple of years, and it's still on Amazon Prime and Tubi and stuff like that, so people can
made a film out of
it. Yeah.
Good for you.
Nathaniel Marston was the lead, and Tom Arnold was in it, and Dee Wallace.
Really?
My star, Bruce Valanche. We had a great cast. Yeah, and so it's a fun... It's kind of like, I sort of say, Freaky Friday with a gay straight twist.
Okay.
You know,
and how long ago was that?
It came out like 10, 11 years ago. So, but it's still...
But you still watch that, huh?
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Walk a Mile.
Okay.
In My Pradas. Not to be confused with The Devil Wears Prada with Meryl Streep. That one did a little better.
Yeah. A little more famous, right?
Yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, you know, not everybody gets to actually have the script made into film and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So
I still have 12 scripts gathering dust, but
really?
That one at least got made, and a few have come close, and one we're working on trying to get made within the year. So
Do you need an agent to
I could definitely use like a literary agent. I had a literary agent for the first book, Rainbow Relatives, but I could use a literary agent for scripts.
Yeah.
So
and then the agent helps you sell the script to filmmakers and stuff.
Yeah, or to production companies or studios and so that does help. I mean, if they're a good agent. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I know. Well, there's probably a lot of agents here, but, you know, how do you know who to trust, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people just are fly-by-night type of thing, you know?
And it just depends what type of scripts and what genre and all that kind of stuff, too.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of films now are being made independently anyway, too, so. Mm-hmm.
Which is nice, you know. A lot more people, they don't need the big studios in order to produce a film, you know.
Right.
And we've had... many filmmakers here who made independent films, and they did very well, you know. I mean, even in the Oscars, you know, and a couple of them won. And short films, I think, people that have been here. So, in Hollywood, you can do a lot of stuff. You just have to, I guess, know people, right? You have to have connections.
Yeah, know people and, who know people.
Right, exactly. And obviously be good, you know, stand out from other people.
Very I do make nice. A lot of, like... I got that one movie done, but I also make a lot of music videos for songs I wrote too. A lot of Christmas music videos, and you know, some have won some awards at some of the festivals and stuff. So.
Oh, I see. Cool, yeah. Well, you're pretty creative, pretty productive, right?
Yeah, I have too many ideas. I can't keep up with all of them, but I try.
Yeah. Now, can you survive on that, or do you have a day job?
Well, I do. You know, I do some commercial and film background work. I do some catering, and one of the books I wrote about that.
Oh, okay.
I took my pain and made it into humor.
So you know how to cook?
No, not at all.
Oh, so you're not the cook?
No.
I
can make shish kebab and toast, and that's it. I work for several caterers. I did it in New York a lot, and I do it here.
Uh-huh.
And some of them are good. So if they were good caterers, the book was called How Catering Sucked the Life Right Out of Me. And so there's a good caterer, Walkstar Catering, Katie Chin. She's great out here, so I still work for her. She's great.
Right.
But the ones that were horrible, I don't use their real names.
Yeah.
People will know who, if they've worked for them, know who they are. But, you know, so, yeah, you have to do side things usually if you're doing acting or writing or a musician.
But what do you do in the catering if you don't cook? What do you do? You sell it?
I stand behind the buffet and say, you know, with the walkie, I need some more chicken at the buffet, or You know, I might pass
some hors d'oeuvres, the whole thing.
Yeah,
much.
Or captain or bartend sometimes, whatever they need me to do, you know.
Right.
So we work a lot of fun events. You know, we work weddings, bar mitzvahs, house parties, you know, celebrity events. So it's kind of some of them, as you know, the title of the book makes it sound really awful, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's fun and it pays the bills and stuff.
So. Yeah, there you go, you know. Cool. Do you want people to find you for the catering? I mean, do you have a company name?
No, because I work for just different caterers and stuff.
I see.
And,
okay.
You know, I'd rather they find me to be in commercials than film
right.
work and for my books, yeah, or music, yeah.
Right. But you got to pay the bills too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to have side jobs on these things because, God, there's a lot of competition in this town. Right? I mean,
yeah, well, especially for authors or books or writing or scripts or.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we have 4 million people here in LA alone, and most of them want to be actors and singers and all that stuff, you know. So it's like take your number and get in line or something, you know. And people keep moving here with big dreams and everything, but, you know, it's not easy.
I make a joke. I came to Hollywood with nothing. And I'm leaving with less. No.
That's true.
I think that's a line in one of my scripts. I don't know.
I know. I know some people that actually came here and left after a while. You know, they gave up.
A lot of people, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some people I don't think give something a long enough time to really be successful at something.
Right.
And some people I think, maybe thought it was going to be easier than it is. And some people just miss home where they're from, I think.
Right, you know, so. Yeah. I know. I've met people from small towns, you know, and they're like a big deal in their town, and they move here, and they're nobody, you know.
Right. So, what do you call that? They're a big fish in a little pond, and then they come here, and they drown.
Exactly, yeah. I know. Well, talking about that, that just brought up a thing for me. I don't know why, but I don't know if you saw the swimmer from Paraguay, and she's like a 20-year-old. She's pretty hot, you know, and she's an influencer as well. So she's at the Olympics now. She lives in Texas, but she represented Paraguay.
Oh.
Because maybe she's from there or something. I don't know. So since she's an influencer, she thought she'd spend her time in Paris with her followers and stuff, you know. So she started taking videos of her, you know, on the Seine and on the beach and doing all kinds of things in Paris. And I guess the organizers didn't like it very much, you know. They're like, this is not a vacation, you know. So they let her go, man.
Oh,
they
well, I didn't know that. I didn't hear about that. I'm a big swimmer. I swim a lot. I swim like a mile.
Really?
4 days a week I try to do. But,
really?
And I swim all my life, yeah. But
that's pretty cool.
I didn't hear that story yet, yeah.
Yeah, I just read it this morning. I'm like, I can't believe, you know, these people with all their cameras and influence and followers and stuff. And they got to show everything that they do, you know. And show the, but obviously they always show the nicest part of their lives. They never show the adversity, you know. So people think, you know, and that's why you have all these young people getting like really messed up, you know, because they think that everybody's life is perfect except theirs, you know.
Right.
And we have your book also. We're going to talk about that. Your book is called Fork Social Media instead of. Fuck social media, of course, and the algorithm it wrote in on. So how did you come up with the title? I mean, obviously, people say that all the time, you know, the horse you rode in on.
Right,
and stuff,
F you and the horse you rode in on. I think most people get that reference. But,
right.
And it's, so jailbird stories. But
what's jailbird stories?
So there's a thing called Facebook jail that people, get, when they get banned or restricted,
right.
And they're punished and they can't post for 10 days or 30 days or... a term has been coined called Facebook jail.
Facebook
jail,
when
you're,
right.
When you're banned or restricted, you're in Facebook jail.
Right.
Or Instagram too, same thing. It's there, you know, but
right.
It's any social media. So I said I wasn't going to say Facebook in the title just to keep myself
right.
You know,
safe.
Right. So I wasn't going to curse on the cover. So I said, but the word fork is very important because the reason or that really got the book going was I posted, stick a fork in him, he's done.
Yeah.
Meaning his career was over. Because there's an expression, stick a fork in it, it's done.
I see.
When you're cooking. So most people know that expression, but the algorithm thought I was promoting violence. Because it literally thinks you're going to stick a fork in someone. It's not a person, it's not anyone complaining about the word fork or that Eichmann complaining you're So the algorithm, and that's the main issue that people were having. I have a lot of stories from people in the book. They post and a word that the algorithm doesn't understand or doesn't get the humor. And then you're just banned automatically. And no human being you can't get through to clear up. No, that's not what it means.
Right.
Another example. So the word fork, I'm like, okay, that's why. And instead of saying the other word. I once told someone go jump in the Hudson River as a joke. And it really was about the river being polluted, really, the joke, I think. But the algorithm said I was promoting suicide on that one. So I was banned again. And so a lot of people this was happening to. And it's funny on one hand because, you know, silly words are just being misunderstood. But people's businesses, you know, they promote stuff on Facebook. So if they're banned for 30 days, if, you know, some of them, their whole pages were taken down. So they've lost all those, everything they had on there. Over a misunderstanding of an algorithm. So it, it really was a big problem and issue. So with humor, I try to point out the absurdities of that. But
And there's nobody to talk to, right?
No, you can't get
when that happens.
No, it's so frustrating. And that's with a lot of businesses now. You can't get through to anybody.
Right.
So it's a, even if people aren't on social media, which most people are, they'll get something out of the book, I think. And some of the stories are just funny. And there's a woman that Kelly O'Brien in the UK. She's a Dolly Parton tribute act. So they keep taking her page down as if she's like pretending to be Dolly Parton or a fake scammer or something. And meanwhile, no, she has a tribute act that Dolly approved and all this. Meanwhile, the real scammers, they like they run scot-free on there. Like, they're, you know, they don't seem to take those pages down. So.
That's true, you know, because maybe they know how to fool the algorithm, right?
I guess. I don't know. There are some tricks in the book that I say how to trick the algorithm in some ways, like by not using certain words, or if you want to use a word, spell it a little differently or use a symbol or something. That does sometimes trick the algorithm, but not always. Like,
but jump in the Hudson, I don't see what would trigger that.
They say it was promoting suicide, but I could see if I said jump, go jump off a bridge, you know. But it's just it's not what like I said, it's being misunderstood.
And, they take it literally.
And then hate speech. You know, they're trying to. Some of their intentions are good. They don't. You know, they try to maybe have people not bully people or spread dangerous information or something. But like. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I once said, as a joke, men are scum. Now, I'm a man, so obviously I'm kidding. But nope, that's hate speech. So boom, I was in Facebook jail again. And then I spelled it wrong intentionally the next time so that I wouldn't be. But it still put me in jail. Again.
Really?
So, yeah.
And how long does it put you in jail for?
It could be anywhere from a day to 30 days. Now, they've gotten a little better the last few months, but they'll at least give you a warning. Like, this is offensive or it goes against our standards. So now it seems like you have a little bit more of a chance of taking it down.
I think
they heard my book was coming out. So
probably,
they, No, but but they're still taking things down too that they there's no reason to also. So so it's like a slap on the wrist or a warning, but you're still, you know, they so but still people are being punished and banned and restricted. Over, and again, sometimes it might be, you know, if you do, there are some people they intentionally, you know, they'll push every button they can just to see if they'll be put in jail, and sometimes it's deserved. There's, or also pornography, if someone's posting stuff like that, you know, and, you know, that's an okay reason to be banned. That's not the place to, you know. But anyway.
So. Yeah, no, that makes sense, you know, but I know people, a lot of, with politics, people get put in jail for political views, and sometimes I don't understand. There's people that are like, really political and stuff, and every day they get banned for 30 days, you know, so it's like, you just go. Like, he'll disappear for 30 days. He comes up again, and, says something again, and he gets banned again.
Well, yeah, some people do that, but it's a badge of honor.
I know,
for some
but
people,
they're never there, you know. So, but the thing is, you can still use Facebook, right? You just can't post.
You can't post, and sometimes you can't comment. But, like, for me, I also run, I'm a coordinator for NSAI, which is Nashville Songwriters Association, Inc. And we had songwriting workshops coming up. I couldn't, because they banned all my pages, even though it wasn't on that page. So I couldn't even post for upcoming meetings for our workshop.
Yeah.
So it's, you know. And it affects a lot of people's businesses that way, too. So
Yeah, you wonder, you know, but you're right. You know, I mean, they have to deal with millions and millions of people. You know, they've got to somehow police all this, you know, and you can't do it with people, you know. So you got to have the algorithm, and they change that all the time.
Yeah,
too,
but
right?
They need some people. They need a few people that you can really get through to. Like most companies, they just want to save money, so don't hire people. And
exactly.
But at some point, you have to have some, at least someone. If it gets to a point, you know, someone's whole page has been taken down. Their pictures, their family pictures, all their memories are just wiped out and gone. I mean, that's not fair to them, especially if it's a misunderstanding.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, you know, and you can't get to them. It's it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Facebook, I mean, is Instagram easier to get out of or Facebook?
Well, it's funny. And what's funny is it's owned by the same company. Right. Yeah. And I'm not, I haven't been banned on Instagram as much. It's just, I think once I said, she speaks with forked tongue and she can go fork herself, I think is what I said. So, and that was before the other one. So I guess the word fork can really get you in trouble.
I suppose fork, it can, you know, but I mean, people title their books with fuck now, you know, and they have no problem advertising that and putting it in the store, you know. I mean, it's not spelled out, you know. They put,
right, they put the asterisks and stuff.
Exactly.
Or the signals.
So, but that's how you'd call the title, you know. And I'm like, are people really desperate that they have to name their books that way to get attention, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, yours is funny, you know, but when they just say, you know, go, you know, fuck yourself or whatever, you know, or unfuck yourself, whatever they call it. I see those all the time, you know.
I make a joke, like, you know how people say you do you?
Right.
I think, well, that's almost a euphemism, a nice way of saying go F yourself.
Right.
You do you. Like, wait, did you just tell me? Which isn't what it means, but anyway.
That's funny, yeah. I was going to ask you, do you have family here in town?
I don't, no. Most of my family, I'm from New York originally, but my one brother is still on Long Island with his wife, and then my mom and my other brother and sister and her husband, kids, they're all in Delaware.
Oh, wow.
And then one sister and her husband and family are in Kentucky. So we're all spread out. Yeah.
How does someone end up in Delaware out of all places?
Well, my sister went to college down there
and
met her husband, and she liked it. And then my parents moved down to be closer to the grandkids at some point down there. So, yeah, but
I know it's usually people going to college, you know. I have, like, my niece's husband. He went to college in Vermont. And he loves Vermont, you know, and there's nothing to do there, you know.
It's cold.
But he loves it, you know.
I went to Plattsburgh, New York College, which is right across the lake or whatever from Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
So it's beautiful country,
it
you
is,
know, but yeah. There's not much to do there, you know. From what I understand, they don't even have, like, fast food places there, you know. No McDonald's and all that stuff.
Vermont,
you know?
Maple syrup and Vermont teddy bears.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, that's about it. So they brought maple syrup for them.
But it is a beautiful state. I've been once or twice, but...
Yeah.
I think for a swim meet, I went once at college, yeah.
Yeah. So. You see, one thing I like about the East Coast is you can go to a lot of places because they're close, you know. Here, everything's so far, you know. Everything here is 5 hours at least to get anywhere, you know. From L.A. to San Francisco, 5 hours.
Yeah.
From here to Las Vegas, 5 hours. From here to, like, I just went to Lake Havasu in Arizona, 5 hours, you know. And so it's like it takes a long drive, you know. And when if you want to do a road trip, often there's nothing to see. There's a lot of desert.
Yeah.
You know, so, but nevertheless, California is beautiful and big, and there's a lot to see, you know. But when you want to go to other places, everything is far here, you know. And, like, when you live in New York, you can go to Jersey and Connecticut and, you know, all these places, and it's close, you know. So,
Yeah, you go to, like, five states within 4 hours or whatever.
Right, exactly. You know, I didn't realize that D.C., was kind of far from New York City, right? I mean, it's not. It's
so
like 800.
4 hours. Let me think.
It's like 800 miles. I mean, you know how I know that? I watched the movie. Have you heard of the movie Civil War that came out a few?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
it's
actually. I put off seeing it because I thought, God, that would be depressing, you know, about Civil War today in today's society. But finally, I watched it yesterday because I was curious. And they were driving, the main characters were driving from New York to D.C., and they said 800 miles. So, I mean, that's far.
That's
Right?
Yeah, that's like...
Is it possible?
5 or 6 hours.
Or 6 hours would be 300 miles.
Oh, okay.
So, it probably...
Well, it's in Maryland.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it is further than I think, because you got to go through Delaware, you got to go through...
It still doesn't seem 800 miles,
that doesn't
right?
Seem, I think there's a misprint in that script that they...
I don't know, but they kept on saying that, you know, they're like, as they got close, they said, okay, this many miles, you know. But maybe they didn't go directly. Maybe they were driving like...
Yeah, I'm going to ask Alexa that. What...
Yeah, I know. Let me ask Siri, you know. Let's see.
Alexa's wrong half the time anyway, but...
Yeah. How far is D.C. from New York City? Let's see what it says. 228 miles.
Okay, I knew
4
that.
Hours. You're right.
Okay, I.
So what the hell was that about?
I'm
like,
don't know.
It can't be 800
Who
miles.
That
is like,
Who
you know,
that
it's like almost a fourth of the way from here to New York. You
yeah.
know, I mean, that's far. 800 miles is far to go.
Yeah.
You know.
That definitely didn't sound.
No,
right.
it yeah. doesn't sound right. So I don't know what the hell happened there, but you know, it's.
I'm glad we checked that though. I wasn't gonna be able to sleep tonight.
Right? I know. I'm like. I've been going crazy since last night thinking about it, you know. But, man, that's a pretty pretty tough movie to watch, you know, because you're seeing Americans killing Americans, you know, like mass graves and things like that. You know, it's pretty depressing to see that. That's why I put off seeing that.
Yeah.
But it gets you thinking, you know. And the thing is, let's just hope it doesn't happen. I mean, Elon Musk just keeps coming out and saying – He's expecting like civil war in the United States, you know. And I'm like, I hope this doesn't happen, you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what we're gonna do.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty scary stuff, you know. But in today's world, I remember growing up, there were things that you knew would never happen, you know, and so you weren't scared about it. But I think since the pandemic and you know and global warming, where you know you feel that. Things are changing, you know, all the countries armed with nuclear weapons to the T, you know, I mean, they've got more than they'll ever need, you know, with countries like North Korea and Russia and now Iran is going to get a bomb too. It's pretty scary, you know, so you don't know, you know, the plague, you know, you don't know what the hell's going to happen, you know, everything's possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, they attempted to murder a, you know, a presidential candidate and stuff, you know. So it's like you think anything can happen. And that's pretty scary, you know. And so you can't write off a civil war here because there's a lot of hatred going on in the country right now, you know. And I don't know why it has to be hatred. Why, you know, I mean, America is not about that. It's about respecting other people, you know.
Yeah.
And things have changed. And that's why I'm saying, you know, it's not the same country that, I knew growing up, you know, it was totally different and things were, you know, and now we're afraid of nuclear wars and all that shit. You know, I mean, the situation in the Middle East is like, they say if just there's one miscalculation on any side, it's going to blow up, you know, because so you gotta think that, man, that's got to be like, you know, everything's got to be perfect if things have to, if we want to keep things the same.
Yeah.
But you don't know, you know. I mean, there's a lot of hatred there too, you know, and a lot of violence, and who knows what the hell's going to go on. So I don't know. I'm kind of frightened about where we're going with this planet, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, with AI, that's a big threat to humanity as well, you know, because you don't know. I mean, I totally think. That it's going to turn out like the Terminator, you know, where the machines take over, you know, because they will one day, you know. And all you have to do is, even if they program them to not hurt human beings, there's going to be one bad actor that's going to come and ruin all that for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm wrong, you know, but I don't know if I would bring kids to this world today. And that's a pretty grim statement, but... what are they going to face, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm out of here in 20, 25 years, you know?
Yeah, I'm out of here in like 40 or 50 years for myself.
But, you know, so, yeah, it's pretty, pretty bad. Let's get to your book a little bit. So it's called Fork Social Media and the Algorithm It Wrote In On, Jailbird Stories. So you actually heard stories from people on Facebook and Instagram?
Some people would post things and I'd say, oh, I'd love to put that in the book when I would see them post it. Or I would ask people if they knew anyone had stories. So a lot of people sent me, I had them fill out surveys and I got some fun stories from different people.
So what are some of the stories that stand out for you that we'd like to know? I mean, because I would like to know why I never got put in Facebook jail. So I don't know, you know, I've written pretty political things, but...
I think they also targeted, like, once you were in once, they, like, targeted you for anything you posted.
Yeah, there's like a flag on your name.
Yeah, the algorithm, yeah. But, yeah, I got a lot of, like, silly things. There was one guy that, he had a flea infestation in the basement, and so he said, we got to call, you know, and they have to bomb the basement.
Mm-hmm.
With the, you know, with the not a real bomb.
That's what they call it, or whatever.
Yeah. So he was banned, you know, and stuff. There's other people. Guy was joking with his friend about his, you know, when your birth, his birthday and how old he was. Because I'm going to have to slice you open and count the rings. Because with a tree, you slice it open and count the rings. So, but the algorithm thought he's literally going to slice the guy open. So boom, he's promoting violence or so. So a lot of stories like that. And
so there's no, they don't have room for nuances and things like that, right?
Yeah.
For like, for the way people talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they take everything literally.
Yeah. And some people, there was some bullying. Some people, you know, are intentionally calling people names and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, if you're really pestering someone or hassling them, they're trying to avoid that. So there's a few stories in there about that too. And I'm trying to remember some of the other. It's been a while.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure there's so many that you can't really remember. When is when was the book released?
In June.
Oh, really? So it's recent.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And you use self-publishing for that?
This one I did, yeah. My first book, Rainbow Relatives, which is on speaking to kids about LGBTQ families and friends, I got a traditional publisher, Skyhorse Publishing. So they do all the stuff, you know, the cover, the editing, all that stuff, and then but they keep most of the money.
yeah.
But it was, you know, it's easier to get into Barnes and Nobles and get distribution if you're with a legitimate, traditional.
Right.
And then this book I did self-published through Ingram Spark and also the catering book for a couple of reasons. One, you can get it out there faster than if you go traditional, it could take 2-3 years for them to read it, then to edit it, then to do this, you know, and you have less control. So I've done both ways, and both ways have positives and negatives. So
But it's nice that today people can self-publish, you know, you don't have to... you know, just like we talked about with film, you know, you can do things independently and actually get your product out there, you know. You have Amazon, you have Goodreads, you have all these places. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tim Hegarty had done the cover. He designed the cover, which...
Who's Tim Hegarty?
He has a design company, Tim Hegarty's Designs. And
It's a nice cover. It's pretty cool. Shows you behind... bars.
It looks like behind bars.
Yeah, with a fork.
I just wanted to shush your mouth. Yeah, but I wanted to give him credit while I thought of it.
It's cool. How did you find him?
Through a mutual friend, Cody Reniger, I guess. Yeah, I think he had read my catering book, and we became friends on Facebook. And he said, "I'd love to do your cover." And he did a great job. I took the picture, and my partner Carlos took the picture in our back.
Right.
I won't give the secret away. I'm not really in prison there, but...
Right. It just looks like, you know, there's bars there.
Yeah.
You probably found the gate or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then he added in with, what do you call that? I don't know if that's... Yeah, he put the people in the background.
Right,
with
They knocked out the background and put drawing there, which is pretty nice.
But he did a really nice job.
And everybody wearing orange suits from jail.
Yeah. I actually bought that on Amazon, probably a jail outfit. And I figured, I can use it for Halloween and the book cover, you know.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know, man. Jail scares me, you know. I'm like as straight as an arrow to avoid jail at any cost. You know?
Well, thank God it's not real.
I don't do anything illegal, you know.
Well, that's what's funny is I had never even gone to the dean's office or the principal's office in high school. I was a good student, and here I am getting like punished left and right for... trying to be funny. I was just trying to be funny.
Right, yeah. So you also brought the book How Catering Sucked the Life Right Out of Me. And so that's your catering book. Yeah. When did you publish this one?
That one came out during the pandemic, I guess in 2020. Uh-huh. Yeah, because it was in the middle of the pandemic. So I really didn't do a lot of, it was mostly stuff online to promote it and stuff because you couldn't go anywhere or do anything. The Rainbow Relatives book, which is, speaking to kids, that one I did a lot of fun in, you know, Barnes and Noble signings and events, but, that one was just all, you couldn't go anywhere. So in some ways might've been good because that people maybe were looking for something fun to read, but,
very cool. So, the catering, tell us a little bit about this book. Can we expect to,
that one I did many years of catering in New York and LA. And so a lot of the stories in there, wedding, bar mitzvahs, you know, house party, celebrity events, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And a lot of fun events, but a lot of them were just, you know, there was a wedding where the groom didn't show up. So the bride went ahead and had a fun party anyway. And she was great. Like, she's saying, I will survive, and, you know, better to find out he's a jerk before, you know, going through
with
it.
Wow, can you imagine going through something like that?
Yeah, and so, and there was a lot of, you know, fun. A really great event I worked was we were setting up the room, and I hear a woman on stage warming up with the band, and she starts singing, Let's Get Physical, Physical, and I'm like, wow, she really sounds a lot like Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
And I turn around, and there's Olivia Newton-John.
Really?
Yep, rehearsing with the band in her jeans and t-shirt. She was going to be the entertainment that night, and I was, I'm a huge fan of hers. So that was really cool to see her not only rehearse, but then kind of sneak back in later and watch her perform. So a lot of fun events too. But anyone, I say the book is for anyone who's done catering or been to a catered event.
I see.
So it's really for everybody. But it's the do's, things to do and not do at an event, you know.
Right.
And the way to act and some of the secrets behind the curtain and that kind of thing.
But, yeah. Very cool. So it's an entertaining book, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. You don't get into serious stuff. It's more like entertainment.
Yeah, that one's more... yeah, not really serious at all.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, you know, you have a sense of humor, and that's good.
I try. My family doesn't think so, but
yeah. Let's see. Some of the chapters are Don't Bite the Hand That Feeds You. You have Pet Peeves, Annoying Things Guests Do. Mm-hmm. Nightmares Not on Elm Street. Let's see. There are no holidays for caterers.
That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, so you work around the clock pretty
much. I always come up with creative chapter titles. Like for the Rainbow Relatives book, it's like, there was no monster in your closet, but your uncle was. Daddy Left Mommy for Tommy is another chapter when, you know, one of the parents turns out to be gay and how it's dealt with the children. Religion, I think, was Pray the Gay Bashers Away. And there's a transgender chapter that's kids, your father, well, she has something to tell you. So it's done with a sense of humor, but there are some serious things like bullying and things like that.
So this is for... this is for adults, how to talk to kids.
Yes, yeah.
It's not a kid's book,
no,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool. When did you write that one?
That one came out in 2018, I think. Yeah. So it took me like 5 years, though, from start to finish. Like,
really?
I got stories from a lot of people, like two mom and two dad families I got stories from, or people who are, you know, uncles and aunts who came out to the nieces and nephews. So collecting the stories, and then I got a literary agent, and then the literary agent got a publisher. And then that took a year to do, you know, so that one took like over five. Everything I do, I feel like takes forever. Yeah. The movie took several years to get made, the Welcome on My Project.
But that's usually how it works, you know. I mean, people say, you know, it takes sometimes 10 years to write a book.
Yeah, and so the other one was a little quicker, but that one, because it went through the traditional publisher too, that takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But
very cool, very cool. So you got several books out there, and... You got a body of work already, you know, which is nice.
Yeah, I make a joke.
You would have a section in the bookstore, in the library.
I'll have my own books. I write books, songs, scripts, everything except checks. I won't write checks. But
don't write checks. Nobody does anymore. Yeah. And I mean, you're talking about songs, and we have a couple of your songs here. Let me know about them, and I listened, and it's pretty... pretty nice to listen to, you know. I mean, it's and you sing and stuff, which is nice.
Yeah, I don't sing on many of my songs. It's usually better if someone else sings on them. But one or two, a few of them I sing on, and I do a lot of Christmas songs as well. But I think I sent you the Alzheimer's.
Don't remember.
Yeah.
So that's an Alzheimer kind of.
Yeah, it's funny. I just thought of the title. Mm-hmm. I won't forget what you don't remember. I said, oh, that's a good title. But then I realized it would have to be about Alzheimer's. So I wrote the song. And then any proceeds from iTunes, I'm going to send to AFA, which is a charity for Alzheimer's. And we did a nice video to that, too, that Carla Guy directed and edited. And Bunny Levine played my mom in it. She's great. Uh-huh. So it's on YouTube, and it's a nice video. And then,
So did your mom suffer from Alzheimer's?
No, it's funny. A lot of people think when I write a song, it's from a personal experience.
It's not, right?
No, rarely is it.
So why Alzheimer's? Is it something that captured your attention?
Well, like I said, I really thought of the title first. Like I said, I won't forget what you don't remember. Oh, that's a good title. And I immediately knew it would be, and maybe Alzheimer's dementia, something like that. So it doesn't specifically mention Alzheimer's in the song, but it's about that. And it's a lot of people, you know, I think my grandmother on my father's side had dementia when she was like in her 80s or something. But I don't think anyone.
But this is not based on experience.
No, no. And many, I wrote a song about someone who quit drinking, and that's not based on experience either. I still drink. No, I don't drink very much, though. But
I know. I wrote a couple songs, too, and, and one of them is about like a love story, a tragic love story in the song. And people are like, oh, did that happen to you? I'm like, no, I just made it up, you know?
Yeah, that's, I have an imagination, people. Sometimes there'll be some of me in some of the songs, you know, or you know, especially if I write funny songs. But I wrote a song, All I Want for Christmas Is You Gone. Last year, we did a funny video. It won some awards, and Mel England was in it with me and Lupe Carranza. But that doesn't mean it was written for somebody. I think it was written maybe against, not against, but Mariah Carey. I got tired of her song, All I Want for Christmas Is You. So I just added the word gone and went with it, you know?
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Sudhi Kavartash. And as you can see, he's multi-talented, does a lot of things. And I admire that, you know, in people, you know, of sharing some of their talent with the world. So let's take a listen to a couple of the songs. Just so people can get an idea of this. You wrote the lyrics and the melody?
Yes.
Sounds good. What You Don't Remember, here we go.
I can still taste the soup you made when I was homesick from school. I recall the day you taught me to swim in our next door neighbor's pool. I saw you stand and applaud when I was in my cap and gown. You still mean so much to me, but to you, I'm a stranger now. I won't forget what you don't remember, each precious moment we spent together. You've been robbed of your memories and slipped further away from me. But my love for you will last forever. Forget what you don't remember. You cried when I walked down the aisle, as many mothers do. You were proud when you held your new grandson, watched him as he grew. I won't forget what you don't remember. Precious moments we spent together. You've been robbed of your memories and slipped.
Very cool. I'm just fading it for the sake of time we don't have much time left.
Let them buy it on iTunes. Don't give it all away.
Exactly. You know.
Well, because it does go to the charity too, so that's good.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, yeah, but it's got a lot of meaning to it, you know, and it's. It's actually a sad song.
It's sad,
you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I when I hear of people where their parents go through this and stuff, and it's difficult when they don't recognize you anymore, you know? It's got to be awful. Yeah. I don't want to have to see that. But, you know? Now, the next one is called Through the Storm. What's this one about?
That one is just about, you know, if you're going through hard times and... it's a little bit about faith, I guess, you know, believing in a higher power that will help you. Again, not totally based on, I'm not going through a really hard time or whatever. This I wrote several years ago. We did a video to that Carla Guy also directed. And it's actually in New York going to be playing that. It got into a film festival video coming up in October. We did a nice video for that. You know, through the storm, you protect me. It's kind of written where it could be to another person.
Right.
It, getting you through the storm or a higher power. It's kind of a little bit vague on purpose, I guess.
I see. Okay. Well, let's take a listen, Through the Storm, with Sudhi Kavartash. Mm-hmm.
darkness in my life. When the sun disappears, clouds of doubt rolling fast, stirring up all my fears. Seems like rain pours down from the skies up above. I feel myself going under. You raise me up with your love. Through the storm, you're my shelter, no matter how strong the wind blows. Through the storm, you protect me, no matter how high the tide goes. Above the noise of the thunder, I hear your voice soft and warm, as you keep me safe through the storm. When there's fog everywhere.
That sounds good. So you got harmonies here and everything.
Yeah, I recorded those in Andy Machen does them down in Escondido. He has a studio. He plays all the instruments on it. He does the harmonies, and his wife sometimes adds in the harmonies. So yeah, because I'm not a musician. I don't play the instruments, and I come up with the melody, but someone else has to figure out what chords
and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff like that.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Because I don't know how you can come up with a melody without an instrument. You know?
People ask, and just like whatever comes in my head.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
but I am more a little bit more of a lyricist than but I, you know, and sometimes I'll co-write with people, and they might do the. We did a nice Donna Summer tribute song with David Sanchez, where he did the melody and stuff. And
I see, very cool, very cool. So, what was your other book again?
There's
Rainbow
Relatives.
Rainbow Relatives.
How Peter Insect the Life Right Out of Me and right for Social Media.
Right. Know? And you have it in Kindle, in print as well, Rainbow?
Yeah, it's paperback and Kindle. It's Amazon, some Barnes & Nobles have it.
Yeah.
Online, especially online. You can, you know, people don't like Amazon sometimes. An order from Barnes & Noble or order from a few other places. You know?
Right. Yeah, but Amazon is the place, you know.
And, that's the most.
You know what's interesting is you would think that they would never have anybody threatening them, you know, but now you have Temu. Which is that Chinese, have you heard of it?
I have.
It's a Chinese website and app that actually offers most of the things that Amazon offers at much lower prices.
Yeah.
And you buy directly from the Chinese manufacturers or distributors, whatever. And you know, I read actually that they are a threat to Amazon. They make a lot of money, although they lost a lot of money too, you know.
Yeah.
Like billions and billions of dollars, I guess. So I guess it's not hard to make a business that loses money, right?
No, just be an author, you'll lose money.
No, yeah. But Amazon for many years lost money, but now they're a big company and they make billions and billions of dollars. So that's pretty much where you go to find anything, you know.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is he started this as a bookstore. Remember when Amazon just started?
I forgot that. Yeah,
in his garage in Seattle, I think he was, Jeff Bezos. Bezos.
Yeah,
not Bezos.
Potato.
But and then it developed into everything. You know, today everything you want you can find on Amazon at a good price. You know,
yeah,
for free shipping the next day.
Yeah,
how can you beat that?
Yeah,
you know,
no, it's
and
very.
You
convenient.
Wonder how they can make money, but they do. You know. Because they charge a lot of fees, high fees to the people that sell on their website.
That's true. Yeah,
you know?
I think they do.
If you're an Amazon seller, you pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, well, we're just about out of time. Sudhi, how can people find you on social media if they want to contact you?
Well, I am still on Facebook until they kick me off. Under, I think, Sudhi Rick Kartosh.
Okay.
I'm on Instagram under Sudirick, Sudirick.
Okay.
What else? I have a website, sudirick.com.
Okay.
And
Sudi is Sudi.
Right. Sudirick. It's my Sudi is my Turkish name. Rick is my American name.
Okay. And spell your last name.
Karatas. I also have a YouTube channel, which is under Sudi Karatas, I believe.
Okay.
And it has all my videos and stuff, my music videos, my some other things on there as well, sketches I have done and stuff, yeah.
So. Very cool. Well, you're a very interesting man, and you're expressing that in your art, in your books, in your music, and that's very cool. I admire that. You know?
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
So thanks for making it happen and reaching out.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on the
interview.
Show. It's
of
been
course,
fun. Yeah.
So everybody catch his stuff. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.